The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Part 4, Yoga of Self-Perfection, Chapter 8, The Liberation of the Spirit, page 674. The purification of the mental being and the psychic prana. We will leave aside for the time the question of the physical purification, that of the body and physical prana, though that too is necessary to an integral perfection, prepares the ground for a spiritual liberation. Shuddhi is the condition for mukti. All purification is a release, a delivery, for it is a throwing away of limiting, binding, obscuring imperfections and confusions. Purification from desire brings the freedom of the psychic prana. Purification from wrong emotions and troubling reactions, the freedom of the heart. Purification from the obscuring, limited thought of the sense mind, the freedom of the intelligence. Purification from mere intellectuality, the freedom of the gnosis. But all this is an instrumental liberation. The freedom of the soul, mukti, is of a larger and more essential character. It is an opening out of mortal limitation into the illimitable immortality of the spirit. For certain ways of thinking, liberation is a throwing off of all nature, a silent state of pure being, a nirvana or extinction, a dissolution of the natural existence into some indefinable absolute, moksha. But an absorbed and immersed bliss, a wideness of actionless peace, a release of self-extinction or a self-drowning in the absolute is not our aim. We shall give to the idea of liberation, mukti, only the connotation of that inner change, which is common to all experience of this kind, essential to perfection, and indispensable to spiritual freedom. We shall find that it then implies always two things, a rejection and an assumption, a negative and a positive side. The negative movement of freedom is a liberation from the principal bonds, the master knots of the lower soul nature. The positive side, an opening or growth into the higher spiritual existence. But what are these master knots, other and deeper twistings than the instrumental knots of the mind, heart, psychic life force? We find them pointed out for us and insisted on with great force, and a constant emphatic repetition in the Gita. They are four: desire, ego, the dualities, and the three gunas of nature. For to be desireless, egoless, equal of mind and soul and spirit, and nistragunya, is in the idea of the Gita to be free, mukta. We may accept this description, for everything essential is covered by its amplitude. On the other hand, the positive sense of freedom is to be universal in soul, transcendently, transcendentally one in spirit with God, possessed of the highest divine nature, as we may say, like to God, or one with Him in the law of our being. This is the whole and full sense of liberation, and this is the integral freedom of the spirit. We have already had to speak of purification from the psychic desire of which the craving of the prana is the evolutionary, or, as we may put it, the practical basis. But this is in the mental and psychic nature. Spiritual desirelessness has a wider and more essential meaning. For desire has a double knot, a lower knot in the prana, which is a craving in the instruments, and a very subtle knot in the soul itself, with the buddhi as its first support, or pratistha, which is the inmost origin of this mesh of our bondage. When we look from below, desire presents itself to us as a craving of the life force, which subtilizes in the emotions into a craving of the heart, and is farther subtilized in the intelligence into a craving, preference, passion of the aesthetic, ethical, dynamic, or rational turn of the buddhi. This desire is essential to the ordinary man. He cannot live or act as an individual without knotting up all his action into the service of some kind of lower or higher craving, preference, or passion. But when we are able to look at desire from above, we see that what supports this instrumental desire is a will of the spirit. There is a will, tapas shakti, by which the secret spirit imposes on its outer members all their action and draws from it an active delight of its being, an ananda, in which the very obscurely and imperfectly, if at all consciously, partake. This tapas is the will of the transcendent spirit who creates the universal movement, of the universal spirit who supports and informs it, of the free individual spirit who is the sole center of its multiplicities. It is one will, free in all these at once, comprehensive, harmonious, unified. We find it, when we live and act in the spirit, to be an effortless and desireless, a spontaneous and illumined, a self-fulfilling and self-possessing, a satisfied and blissful will of the spiritual delight of being. But the moment the individual soul leans away from the universal and transcendent truth of its being, leans towards ego, tries to make this will a thing of its own, a separate personal energy, that will changes its character. It becomes an effort, a straining, a heat of force which may have its fiery joys of effectuation and of possession, but has also its afflicting recoils and pain of labor. It is this that turns in each instrument into an intellectual, emotional, dynamic, sensational, or vital will of desire, wish, craving. Even when the instruments per se are purified of their own apparent initiative and particular kind of desire, this imperfect tapas may still remain. And so long as it conceals the source, or deforms the type of the inner action, the soul has not the bliss of liberty, or can only have it by refraining from all action. Even if allowed to persist, it will rekindle the pranic or other desires, or at least throw a reminiscent shadow of them on the being. This spiritual seed or beginning of desire, too, must be expelled, renounced, cast away. The sadhaka must either choose an active peace and complete inner silence, or lose individual initiation. Sankalpa Ramba. In a unity with the universal will, the tapas of the divine shakti. The passive way is to be inwardly immobile, without effort, wish, expectation, or any turn to action. Nishesta. Aniha. Nirapeksha. Navritha. The active way is to be thus immobile and impersonal in the mind, but to allow the supreme will in its spiritual purity to act through the purified instruments. Then, if the soul abides on the level of the spiritualized mentality, it becomes an instrument only, but is itself without initiative or action. Nishkriya, Saravamba, Parityagi. But if it rises to the gnosis, it is at once an instrument and a participant in the bliss of the divine action and the bliss of the divine Ananda. It unifies in itself the Prakriti and the Purusha. The ego turn, the separative turn of the being, is the fulcrum of the whole embarrassed labor of the ignorance and the bondage. So long as one is not free from the ego sense, there can be no real freedom. The seat of the ego is said to be in the buddhi. It is an ignorance of the discriminating mind and reason which discriminate wrongly and take the individuation of mind, life, and body for a truth of separative existence and are turned away from the greater reconciling truth of the oneness of all existence. To get rid of this idea, to dwell on the opposite idea of unity, of the one self, the one spirit, the one being of nature, is therefore an effective remedy. But it is not by itself absolutely effective. For the ego, though it supports itself by this ego idea, ahambuddhi, finds its most powerful means for a certain obstinacy or passion of persistence in the normal action of the sense mind, the prana, and the body. To cast out of us the ego idea is not entirely possible or not entirely effective until these instruments have undergone purification. For their action being persistently egoistic and separative, the buddhi is carried away by them, as a boat by winds on the sea, says the Gita. The knowledge in the intelligence is being constantly obscured or lost temporarily and has to be restored again, a very labor of Sisyphus. But if the lower instruments have been purified of egoistic desire, wish, will, egoistic passion, egoistic emotion, and the buddhi itself of egoistic idea and preference, then the knowledge of the spiritual truth of oneness can find a firm foundation. Till then, the ego takes all sorts of subtle forms, and we imagine ourselves to be free from it, when we are really acting as its instruments, and all we have attained is a certain intellectual poise, which is not the true spiritual liberation. Moreover, to throw away the active sense of ego is not enough. That may merely bring an inactive state of the mentality, a certain passive, inert quietude of separate being may take the place of the kinetic egoism, which is also not the true liberation. The ego sense must be replaced by a oneness with the transcendental divine and with universal being. This necessity arises from the fact that the buddhi is only a pratishtha, or chief support of the ego sense, in its manifold play, ahankara. But in its source, it is a degradation or deformation of a truth of our spiritual being. pausing bottom page 677 to be continued in the next recording.